Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are glad you're joining us today on this cloudy Clearwater, Florida day. Don't know where it is, what's going on where you are. And some of you may be experiencing some very bad weather. And if so, we are sorry about that, but glad we live in sunshine, Pastor Jim.
Well, most of the time it is cloudy and little.
Today it is pretty.
A little cloudy, a little drizzly, a little chilly, but, you know.
That's all right. We should have a winter day, kind of a winter day someday.
Right. It's winter in Florida.
Which is crazy. Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate pastor. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister. We're so glad you've joined us, and we're going to have a great time. We just came from a wonderful lunch, carry-in lunch. Right after church, mm-hmm. We had a powerful service today, Pastor Jim.
Yes, we did. Praise God.
And you gave a wonderful word last Sunday morning. What a teacher, preacher of the word you are. Teacher, preacher. You know, we do both, don't we? I mean, sometimes we're teaching and sometimes we're preaching.
And that's why it's pastor, teacher there in Ephesians. It's,
right.
You can link the two together.
And it's so true. You know, both of us, you know, we do the same thing. And mm-hmm. And we have that wonderful big whiteboard now that I just love and able to write things that are, don't you like that?
When I taught last week and then when I did that Wednesday night when you were visiting in Indiana or in Georgia, that new whiteboard is wonderful.
It's huge. And
it's flipping pages.
Right. It's just, we've been used to an old paper easel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so nice to be able to make a point because the teacher in both of us likes to do that.
Yes.
And today we presented our brand new website.
Yes,
and
we
so
did.
Listening audience, wait a minute, we got to get a big old drum roll. Do you have a drum roll here, Cedric? We need a drum roll. Here we go. All right, I love it. Okay, we launched today a brand new, completely brand new, revamped BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com website today. And it is phenomenal. We showed it to our people in a meeting after church, after we were gobbling down a delicious ham and a bunch of food. And I'll tell you what, PJ, it was just a joy. Our webmaster, Maxine McClanahan of McQuitt Creative Works up in Covington, Georgia, is the innovator and
a mastermind.
Mastermind, that's a great word for it. And get our first website clear back in 05 or 06. And we've been using that one ever since. And many times people have been saying, couldn't we revamp it? So I went to Georgia a couple weeks ago and we did a total revamp. I didn't do much but just write text and that kind of thing. I wouldn't begin to know how to put it in the
actually
right boxes.
Yeah.
No, but she is an expert and has a couple degrees in this. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, PJ, but I am thrilled beyond words at this new look. Cedric, you got to look it up, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. It is cool. You'll probably have to put your mute button on because then I come up talking right on it. So anyway, it's page after page after page of all of our ministry outreaches and everything that we're doing. So
yeah,
talk to me.
It's incredible. All the pictures.
The gallery is fun.
And that we know that's going to grow.
Yeah.
We know that gallery is going to grow. But just, you know, updated information on all the different ministries and the radio show and the different outreaches. And It's just incredible.
It was just, it's just amazing.
And it's so much easier to navigate.
It is. It's very easy to navigate. It's clean. It's a brand new template. It's very modern looking. You like
yes.
it?
Yes, the graphics look really nice on it.
Yeah, I think so too. And you go page after page, you go down to the bottom to scroll and to go to the different areas. And but the gallery is really user-friendly. Click on the picture and you can go different directions, see all the pictures. And I'm just amazed at how she's created mm-hmm. this. And
Maxine made this?
Maxine.
Wow.
Yeah, she made it. And it's like 10, 12 pages long. I mean,
it looks really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's professional. We created some new logos. And when people want to write us, like right now during the show, now it's pastor@bohmglobal.com.
So that's the new yep. email address I'll use for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Pastor@bohmglobal. Now, the old one will still work, but the Beacon of Hope Ministries, but you know, we were always having to spell that out, and that's a lot for people to type out mm-hmm. and remember. So we've gone with the BOHM, which is the abbreviation of Beacon of Hope Ministries. So we're going with BOHM Global. And, so that's an exciting thing. We're kind of, you know, just making some new modern changes to
it. Very cool.
You know?
Yeah, it looks nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
So people, we really ask you, go to our website now, mm-hmm. www.beaconofhopeministries.com, and catch it, look it all over, and you see all the different ministry opportunities we have, including the nursing home is on mm-hmm. the
which
Sunday
is,
page.
I was
going to
say,
cool?
which is next Sunday.
Right after church, we go straight to Palm Garden of Clearwater for our service before we come to radio. The first Sunday of the month is a little wild for us, isn't it? Straight from
today
one,
was a little wild.
Today
for
was
us.
Too. Yeah, just straight from one thing to another. But you know, just what a blessing that God is working and using people's talents. And we can't begin to thank Maxine and her partner Carol for all the work on this, mm-hmm. and it's just huge. It's amazing, and we are very appreciative and very grateful. So we ask you to go to beaconofhopeministries.com and roam through it, you know, just surf a little bit and see everything we got going on and become a partner with us on the radio. This is our sixth year on the radio, every Sunday faithfully live, and we've got a great show for you today. We're talking about Acts chapter 16 and 17. We got a lot of good stuff we're talking about here in the early church and how it applies to us today. And the whole need to become soul winners and people that affect other people's lives in positive ways by stepping out of the comfort zone and getting out there and living what you believe. And you and I are going to have a long talk about that, and then Betty will join us later for a new venture we're doing. She'll talk to us for a few minutes. But a lot going on. PJ, I can't be more excited about the future and what God's Amen. Doing through Beacon of Hope. And we're in our 12th year, been through some hard times, very hard times, like every ministry goes through. But God has always been faithful.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're in that having fallen into the ground part now. We're about to bear fruit.
And bearing fruit comes from faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And so this show is going to be great. And if you're discouraged, defeated, got a lot going on in your life, maybe you've been serving the Lord for a long time, and you just need a boost of encouragement today. Today is that day.
Yes.
So don't go away. You're going to love this show. Then we're going to start with 10th Avenue North, that group, and this song, All the Same.
Thousand voices, a thousand lies, a thousand prayers rise in the night. What is it we seek? So many stories, Lord, I hear, and all these questions in my ears. Can we come out clean? Faces, different fears, different failures lead us here. I'll show us how. We're all the same, desperate for a change. We're all
Praise God. Good song. All
Amen.
The same. I've never heard that song. We're all the same, desperate for change. We want a touch from God. And PJ, I believe that the world is hungering for meaning. You know, the people, they are in so many lives, they're striving to find, why am I here? What is my purpose? Where am I going?
And unfortunately, so many times, people look in the wrong places for those answers.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of where we're going to go today and
exactly
in Acts chapter 16. But I mean, people, they're, you know, in Ecclesiastes, it says, you know, God's put eternity in our hearts.
Yes.
There's something in
yes.
our hearts
yes.
that makes us long for God, makes us long for eternity.
Exactly.
And we search for it. And of course, like Connie says, there's that God-shaped hole.
Yes.
The only thing that can fill it up is a relationship with Jesus.
Right.
And, but people will try and fill it up with everything else.
Exactly.
And it just doesn't, it just doesn't work.
Doesn't work. So we start with Acts 16:16, and Paul is going around and he's preaching and he's teaching and proclaiming the word of God. And something strange happens to him. And at first mention of this, it had to be maybe perhaps a little startling to him, because this is probably not something that happened very often to him. In Acts 16:16, he's preaching the word, and somebody starts following him and yelling. So you want to talk to us about that,
yeah.
Pastor Jim?
This slave girl starts wandering behind them,
mm-hmm.
and literally, she had a python spirit, which was the demon spirit of the oracle at Delphi, the oracle of the god, false god Apollo at Delphi.
Right.
So she had this python spirit. So imagine, first of all, I think it's interesting, it was a snake,
it was
a serpent,
a snake. Right.
Spirit.
Right.
But she you know, went around telling fortunes, and she was a moneymaker for
right.
the people that owned her. Well, The demon spirits in her recognized the Holy Spirit in Paul.
Right.
And I think partially they were, you know, they just went berserk, basically, because
right.
she's following Paul around shrieking, "These men know a way to God. They know a way to God. You know, these are servants of the Most High God." And
in the natural, we would think that's a good thing. She's pointing out that Paul and Silas were indeed God's servants,
right.
but it's not a good
thing. And I always pictured this, I think, a little bit differently than, because you also taught on this morning. I saw her being like crazy wild.
Oh, yeah.
Jumping around, shrieking.
Yeah, I think you're right about
These
that.
These men are followers of the Most High God. Just shrieking and screaming, which was actually creating more of a disturbance.
Yes, a distraction.
Than anything else. It was a distraction of what Paul was trying to get done. Because
mm-hmm.
it says after a few days, he got annoyed at this.
Right.
He turned around and said, you know, commanded the spirit, "In the name of Jesus, leave her." The demon spirit came out. Well, unfortunately, that slave girl then lost her ability to predict the future.
Right.
So the people
the psychic ability, the fortune telling was no longer valid.
Right.
Which we know, according to scripture, is not of God. Don't
right.
go to psychics. Don't go to fortune tellers. Don't go to tarot card readers, people. That's dabbling with the occult, and you'll get a lot of false information. But go ahead.
And again, that goes back to what we talked about before we started talking about the scripture is
right.
people look for answers in all the wrong places. And I think,
amen.
Just in my heart, that's one of the most frustrating things.
Yes.
Because the Bible is so plain and simple. And a relationship with God through Jesus is so plain and simple.
And that's the answer, right?
Exactly.
There.
And I mean, I have a friend who's an atheist, former coworker, and you know, just all this atheist stuff, and it's like, why do you make it so hard?
Right.
Or people who believe in the more salvation or the more works based salvation cults.
Right.
Why do you make it so hard? Why should I, or like a Hindu or a Buddhist, why would I need to go through 1,000 incarnations and reincarnations when it's destined for me, according to Hebrews chapter 10, to die once?
Right.
And then I get resurrected because
right.
I'm a believer.
Exactly.
I don't have to go through all these different incarnation.
You don't have to become a butterfly or
no,
whatever.
No, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the simplest thing in the world.
It is.
Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures.
Yes.
He rose again on the third day.
Amen.
He is our salvation.
Amen.
And he's coming back.
That's it?
That's it. That is it. No cycle of reincarnations.
Right.
No salvation by works.
Right. Jesus. It's all by grace. It's all by what Jesus did on the cross.
And
yes.
Well, boy, that was a little divergent
thing.
No,
that's okay, but that's exactly right.
But, you know, that's what, to me, that is one of the things that I find so frustrating is that people are so blinded to the simplicity of the gospel that they'll go to, like, you know, these Python spirit slave girls to try and get their futures read. When
it's so awful.
You know what? Jesus has already seen my future. He's already been there.
Amen.
I can trust my future to him. I don't have to worry about it.
Well, and people don't realize, and if you're one of these out there in the audience that does go to psychics or call psychics 1-888 or whatever it is you do, don't do it. Don't do it, because you open the door for the devil to give you false information, for the devil to take you down a path that is not of God. The scripture is very clear. Leave that stuff alone. And this girl was following him, and like you said, Pastor Jim, annoying him, even though she was saying what appeared to be the right thing. These men are pointing a way to salvation.
Well, and
it was an annoyance.
Right. You can say the right thing, but in the wrong way.
Right.
And, you know, she was pointing out they were servants of the Most High God. Well, but think through the Gospels of when demons, when, you know, Jesus would come around, there'd be somebody who's demon-possessed. The demons went berserk.
Right.
And created a big scene. And remember, he had to tell the one, shut up.
Shut up.
Be
right.
quiet.
Exactly.
You're making too much noise.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what was happening here. And so Paul casts the demon out, and those, you know, the slave girl's owners were not happy.
They it caused all kinds of trouble.
How they reported it to the police, and then
right.
they came to get Paul and Silas, and we find out later, I mean, well, what they did, Paul and Silas were both Roman citizens, and
right.
you, under Roman law, you couldn't punish a Roman citizen.
Right.
You couldn't just take them to jail.
Which is what they did, though.
Right.
They took him straight to jail.
They assumed that
for calling a demon out of this girl.
Right.
Yes.
Well, and what, you know, the accusation was, well, they're doing things not according to our custom.
Right.
Well, excuse me. You know, they're doing things according to God's will.
Right.
But, you know, what happened is they got beat. I mean, beat.
It said rods. Here in the Message Bible, they got beat black and blue.
Yeah, with
I
rods.
Mean, and stripped naked.
Yeah.
Or close to naked.
Yeah, imagine having your clothes stripped off and people beating you with rods.
Amazing.
Not canes like they do in, you know, Thailand, but these were rods.
It had to
sticks
hurt.
Sticks.
Yeah, really
that didn't
bad.
Bend. These really, I mean, I'm sure they were black and
blue. Oh, it was horrible.
And then that tossed them in the lowest jail, put shackles on their feet.
And all they had done was teach the word of God, but they had called out the demonic spirits from this girl. And her owners are the ones who got mad and had them thrown in jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what happened. So they're in jail. They're beaten. They're in a dungeon. They're in a awful... They had to be in pain. I know Advil sitting around.
Right.
You know, or Tylenol. There was nothing like
and
that.
You can
know?
Bet the prison was dark.
And dirty and smelly.
And dirty and smelly and probably rat infested.
Rat. Oh, yeah.
And, you know...
We're painting a pretty nasty picture here.
We are. I mean, but I want our listeners to understand, first of all, you know, they were falsely accused.
Right.
You know, so they're doing things against the customs of the against Roman custom. Even under Roman law at that time, Jews were protected.
Right.
And yet, because they were Jews, they did all these horrible things to them, threw
right.
them in the prison, shackled their feet, and... Paul and Silas didn't.
I just
it's
love
like
this.
It's like it didn't make any difference.
It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Honestly, it is, because when you are feeling that your whole world is coming apart, and I had some devastating news today, as you know, of a family matter, and it was difficult even to accept that news and go on, but here I am because I know that God's going to get glory in this difficult situation in my family. And Paul and Silas are sitting here in a very difficult, painful, not just physically painful, but I mean, they're wondering, okay, emotionally, what's going to happen to us? You know, are we going to be taken out and killed because of this event?
Right.
All they were doing was teaching the word, Pastor Jim, and that's why the devil comes against us so hard.
Right, because you teach the word.
Right.
And I'm sure Satan figured, you know, I'm sure all his little demons were on there just kind of rubbing their hands and going, oh, we got them now.
Exactly.
They ain't never coming out of this prison.
Right.
You know, we're going to stick them down here and nobody else. Because, you know, Paul, this was like Paul's first stop in Europe.
Right.
You know, Philippi was his first stop.
So here
on
he
the
is
European
on his first
side.
European visit,
yeah.
And he's in jail in a dungeon.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, Satan didn't want the gospel going to Europe.
He's trying to stop it.
And, you know, Paul had literally just crossed over and was starting his European, you know, the European part of his missionary journey. Satan wasn't having it. So,
You know, that's interesting that you just brought that up, because we have been a ministry for almost 12 years. We've been through some hard times, and it's a lot of hard times in the last year, and in a lot of ways, and false accusation, and just stuff we've had to endure with some people. Been very painful time, but yet the gospel continues to come forth from this radio show, from this ministry, over and over again. And that's what God calls people to do, to pick yourself up by the bootstraps, gut up, and go on.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how painful it is, no matter how difficult, that's what you got to do.
But in...
There you go.
Amen. But in this portion of Scripture, yes, that's what he wants us to do, and he tells us how to do it.
Right.
He gives us the game plan on how to do
yes.
this, because obviously God's not going to say, oh, just suck it up
right.
and go on without giving us... The way to do it. And
right.
and he does it. I mean, here, Paul and Silas, midnight, middle of the night.
And what? Darkest hour.
Darkest hour. What are they doing? They're singing and praising God.
That's verse.
They're praying and singing. I like
25 of Acts 16.
Yeah, this version has, after, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs, hymns, praise songs to God.
In the message,
as the other prisoners listened.
As they listened, in the message it says they were at prayer and singing robust hymns to God. They were just like cutting loose, singing praise songs, and in the midst of a horrible, horrible time.
But and this just came to me. What do they have to lose? You might as well praise God at the top of your lungs.
That's right.
Because you're as low as you can get. What else is left but to praise God?
That's exactly right.
You know, what else is left but to worship and praise God?
And that goes for our audience out there right
Amen.
Now. Some of you may be in such difficult circumstances and depression, discouragement, and this is right here, practical, hot off the boilerplate of the Holy Spirit. You got to praise God, and you got to do it robustly, not wimply, not just barely. You got to cut loose and praise God, because it's when you do, and you are being, like we've talked the last 2 weeks, a proclamator. You are proclaiming the word of God. You're proclaiming God's praise. Amazing things begin to happen. Changes.
Mm-hmm. Suddenly.
Suddenly. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said this morning, it was a
divine shift.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, and I didn't get a chance because I didn't want to interrupt the sermon, but you know, earthquakes are normally caused when tectonic plates
That's right.
shift. And I'm
good
thinking,
point.
God reached down, because suddenly it says
That's
there was a great
good
earthquake.
Point.
God reached down on one of those European tectonic plates
right.
and nudged it.
Just a tiny bit.
Just nudged it enough to have a great earthquake in Philippi.
Just at that right moment.
Just at that right moment.
Does this increase your faith or what, Cedric? I don't know about you, but it does me. When we know that God can intervene in our current circumstances. He's shaking his head, yes. Yes, he is. And now he's going to save something.
Sorry, sometimes I forget this is a radio show.
No, that's okay.
There's no camera.
Right, there's no camera. But the fact that God can intervene like that, I mean, amazing, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And to do this, an earthquake, I mean, no matter what his method was or how he intervenes in people's lives, this was an earthquake. And I love it. All he had to do was just touch.
He just touched that European plate, because
right.
you know, Greece is a pretty active, you know,
right.
active area for earthquakes. So he just touched it. And there's this great earthquake. All the prison doors opened up. And
amazing.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I think
that's in verse 27 of Acts 16. All the prison doors open up.
And not only that, but the chains fell off. Now, how an earthquake can get the shackles to fall off your feet, I don't know, but it happened.
You know, I didn't even notice that earlier, but that is so true. All the shackles fell off of them. They were free.
The
stuff came off of their hands, their legs.
God moved, and they were made free. And yet they didn't
move. Oh, that'll preach.
Uh-huh. And yet they didn't all scatter.
No.
I mean, God had it. Oh, that's going to preach. God had a purpose for them not scattering, because if they had, then the jailer would have been killed.
Right.
Instead, the jailer rushes in and Paul says, we're all here. Don't worry about it. We're all here. So the jailer's life is going to be spared. And then the jailer says, man, what do I got to do to get saved?
God got his attention, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes God does drastic things. I think God allows drastic things in our lives sometimes to get our attention and get us to come up and realize, whoa, okay, whoa, whoa. You know, God is moving in my life. Wow. You know, we maybe be spared in a terrible, what could be a fatal car accident, and we walk away from it, or something drastic happens, and we could, I mean, just go down with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a bad kayak incident a few years ago. It was very dangerous out on the water and got slammed into some rocks, and I was fine. But, I mean, just the same, it was like at that moment I thought, okay, I get the point. I am not going out in a storm ever again. Well, okay. It wasn't a storm when I went out.
I was going to say, okay, Pastor.
It wasn't a storm when I went out. But the point is, sometimes God allows circumstances to get our attention.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And
this certainly got the jailer's attention.
It certainly did. I mean, you know, Paul said, don't, because the jailer had already gotten his sword out. He was going to kill himself.
Right.
Because he figured he's dead anyway.
Right.
I mean, the prisoners were under his charge. And Paul says, don't stop. We're all here. None of us have gone anywhere.
Right.
And, you know, that's not just Paul and Silas. That's all the
everybody.
Other prisoners.
There's no record of anybody escaping
right.
at all.
No, they all stayed there.
That's a miracle in itself. The prison's open and nobody leaves.
Right.
I mean, come on. How weird is that? So
you know, the jailer says, okay, what must I do to be saved?
Right.
What do I have to do? And here again, you know, nothing fine, nothing big, fancy, no, you know, 20 steps or anything. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your entire household.
That's it.
Duh.
You know, PJ, back years ago when I pastored in Indiana, I had a Christian bookstore for 11 years. And I can tell you that there were times that people walked through the doors of that bookstore and they probably didn't even realize we had a church in the back or anything like that. But they came into the bookstore, but they were looking for somebody to pray with them, because they had just been given a death sentence physically. Cancer, brain tumor, AIDS was one of them. I can remember several people that walked through the doors of that bookstore. And there was this devastating moment in time where they realized, I'm dying. And I've got to go get help. Okay? And some people needed to find Jesus. Some people just needed to get a healing. Some people needed counseling, whatever the case may be. But my point is, dear listener, if you're going through one of those moments right now where, and I feel in my spirit that somebody is that's listening today, PJ, that if they're going through one of those life-altering, life-threatening moments in their life, now is the time to allow God to do what he wants to do in your life and get the benefit from the situation. Get the benefit that God has in store for you, the blessing that God has in store for you. Don't just take the problem, take the benefit.
Right.
Whatever it is that's coming. Look at the benefit that came to the jailer and his whole family.
Right. I mean, they took Paul in. Paul preached the word.
Right.
They believed.
In
the middle of the night. All this happened before daybreak.
Right.
Paul preached. They got saved. They got baptized. They bound up Paul and Silas's wounds. And the whole family, they had big old celebration there.
So midnight to 6, basically, 6 hours, life-changing events. The earthquake at midnight, as they were praising God, and then everything transpires in the next 6 hours. A big meal, baptism, people getting saved after they, I mean, baptized after
Paul
they got saved.
Paul preaching the word.
Paul preaching. All of that in a 6-hour period of time before daybreak. I mean, look what God somebody can get done when he's on the move.
I was going to say, somebody had their 5-hour Holy Spirit energy bottle.
Woo! 5-hour energy. Okay. Yes. And what does Paul say to them? He says, put your entire trust in the Master Jesus. Mm-hmm. It always reminds me when I read that, because the Message Bible says trust, and in your Bible it says believe.
Believe.
But in the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, two of my favorite verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding.
In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths.
Exactly. And this is the whole thing. This is that. Those two verses are for somebody right now. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is what Paul said to the jailer and his family. Here's what you got to do. You got to trust.
Mm-hmm.
You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you got to trust him with your life and with your circumstances. And you got to move forward into what God has for you and for your mm-hmm. life. Amazing.
And
amazing
he did.
Stuff.
And, you know, and they all celebrated. I mean, imagine. I mean, here this jailer who a few hours before was ready to kill himself.
Right.
And now he has a new life.
Right.
And not only him, but apparently his wife, his kids, and all his servants.
Right.
All got saved that same time. So that's...
What a party.
What a party. You know? I think that's really cool. And then, I love what happens next
yeah,
in this
go
story.
Ahead.
Because remember I said earlier, you know, Paul and Silas were Romans. And you
right.
don't treat Romans like that.
Right.
You mean you usually give them house arrest, which is, of course, what happened to Paul later. House arrest, yeah. You don't go around beating Roman citizens.
No.
So the next morning, I love it. The officers sent the police to tell the jailer, let these guys go free.
Verse 35 of Acts 16.
Uh-huh. And verse 36 said, you know, the jailer told Paul, the officers want, you know, you can go now.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul said, excuse me. You know, I think of Suzanne Sugarbaker from Design Women. Excuse me? Excuse me? You know, Paul
That's
said,
a long time ago.
I know. I was going to say.
My gosh, Cedric, where did that come
yes,
from?
Praise
you
God.
Get bonus points for the obscure reference. I
Thank
like
you.
That.
Praise
that's an obscure one from Designing Women.
Well, sort of. I mean, it's been
yeah,
a while since that was in the mainstream.
Hey,
it's a good show. I remember that.
TV
do you remember
guide.
The way, did you see the way he did it, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cute.
Sorry,
just
I didn't
like her. Just like
mean
her.
No, that's okay.
That was cute.
TV Guide, channel 178. They usually run Designing Women marathons sometimes on the weekend.
Oh, okay. So. All right. Okay. So you've been watching Suzanne Sugarbaker.
Yeah.
All right. Go right
but
ahead.
I mean, I love it. Paul says, no.
No.
No. You all can come and escort us out.
Right.
You know, you beat us illegally. You know, and Paul didn't, you know, he didn't really use his rights as a Roman citizen very
right.
often. This is one of the few times he did. He said, no, I'm not going to let you get away with this time.
Right.
And you almost wonder if in the spirit realm, it was a way to humiliate the demons. Because they'd wanted him in prison all this time.
Oh, yeah.
And now, and you know, you can just about bet, not that they were possessed, but you can just about bet those Roman officials were being nudged
right.
by the demons.
Right.
And here, you know, Paul says, you're not going to get away with this. You're
right.
going to come and escort me out, which
right.
is what they did. What could they do? Because all Paul had to do was say, I'm going to write a letter to Caesar.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to let the emperor know how you treated a Roman
right.
citizen. And that would have been the end of Philippi.
Well, it reminds me of Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses, too. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So here's what seemed to be so devastating. They get thrown in jail. They get beaten black and blue. They suffer for the name of Jesus. They're in the dungeon. They're singing praises. That's the divine shift moment
mm-hmm.
when they are coming away, not dwelling and wallowing. Yesterday in the Jesus Calling devotional that we all have, a lot of us have. If you don't have that, you need to go to Walmart and get one. Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, a major, wonderful devotional. And yesterday it was on self-pity. And, you know, instead of Paul and Silas sitting there in self-pity, and I thought her writing on self-pity was excellent because the devotional says self-pity is like a big trap. The closer you get to the edge of it, it's going to pull you in and suck you down into, like, like the, it just reminded me of a big hole, and you come close to it, and your weight, the weight of you standing on that edge, causes you to slip right down into that big hole.
I was going to give another obscure reference.
Go ahead. Give another obscure. We'd like to hear one, wouldn't we, Cedric?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I believe it was the Sarlacc in Return of the Jedi. That creature that lived in that sand pit.
Okay.
That was, you know, I'm thinking that's kind of how it was, because you go in there and it's so hard to get out. It's hard to climb out of that pit once
right.
you get into it.
And that's the truth. And yes, I remember.
Okay.
That. But that is exactly what we're talking about, and that's a visual that is good because it helps us see the seriousness of being entrapped by self-pity and feeling sorry for yourself, which Paul and Silas were not doing. They're sitting in the dungeon after they've been beaten black and blue and stripped naked, and they're sitting there in pain and squalor and in absolute stench, and they're praising God at the top of their lungs, praise God, and in the midst of our worst trials. And I've had a horribly hard week. In the midst of this, I've been praising God more, Pastor Jim, than ever before this week because I've had to. It's been such a hard week.
What else can you do?
What else can you do?
Seriously. I mean, no, exactly. What else is there to do?
Well, wallow.
Well,
you can wallow.
Can. Yeah, you can. You can wallow. You can build walls. You can shut down. But
if you wallow, you're going to get into the pit of the Return of the Jedi.
Exactly.
And it'll just take you down, and it's hard to get out of quicksand once you're in it.
It is. But, I mean, you know, on one level, yeah, we know our humanness, our human brokenness. That's why we turn to things like self-pity and everything else.
Drugs, yet, sex,
yeah,
whatever,
if we
pornography.
Just turn to God.
Right. Amen.
Then.
Amen.
It's just, so much easier.
Amen. Let's listen to this song, Center of the Mark, by the group 4M. good song. I've never heard that. Have you ever heard that?
No.
The world is the target, and oh, is that true? And that's what prompted and motivated Paul and Silas. And that's a good song. Love God, love people. We all need love. Center of the Mark by the group Four, number Four, him. And so right on, there's got to be a motivation in our lives, Pastor Jim, that causes us to get up and go to church, causes us to open our Bibles, causes us to listen to a radio broadcast like this, causes us to get up in the middle of the night and pray for people to be saved. We've got to find our focus and the center of our lives and realize that God's got a plan for us and he's got a work for us to do. Some of you out there are called to be prayers and intercessors, and there's no higher calling. I mean, when you start praying and interceding for lost people to be saved, set free, wow, that's what it's all about.
Right, right. And Paul knew that.
Yes.
And Silas knew that. I mean, they had that burning desire.
Yes.
To bring salvation.
Oh.
To the world.
Right.
And we just talked, you know, before the last song, we talked about how things went in Philippi and, you know, backing up a little bit, you know, Paul couldn't even find a synagogue in Philippi.
Right.
There weren't even enough Jewish men to form a synagogue, but there was enough. They had this little place of prayer out by the riverside. So what did he do? He went out there and preached.
Right.
He got people saved.
Right.
And then, you know, we got that confrontation with the demon-possessed girl, got the jailer saved, and, you know.
Are you saying we should bloom where we're planted?
Exactly.
And that there might be some people out there that go, well, I'm not a called pastor or teacher or youth minister or whatever. What can I do for God's kingdom?
Whatever God tells you to.
And he's going to open doors of opportunity.
Exactly. I mean, it may be as simple as praying.
Yes.
For more people to go and be evangelists.
Right.
You know, as Pastor Marsh is fond of saying, praying for harvest hands. People
right.
to go out and do the harvesting.
That's our homepage of our new website. Go and read that on about our harvest hands ministry. Go ahead.
That may be the ministry you're called to.
Yes.
You may be called to give a dollar to a homeless person.
Right.
Okay. I had that happen on the way to church Wednesday night.
Really?
A Bible study. It's like, you know, and the guy looked like he probably wasn't going to spend it on food. But God, you know.
I know.
God says give.
When God says give, that's how I determine it.
You know,
if I feel a nudge in my heart, then I'll do it.
And I thought, all right, God, I'm going to be obedient.
Right.
It's up to you what he does with the money.
Exactly.
But I'm going to be obedient.
Right.
And it may be something as simple as that. God may call you to be an evangelist or to be a pastor. But if he calls you, he's going to equip you.
Amen.
You know, believe me, he will do that. But you know, our callings vary because we are different. Our callings vary a lot. But yeah, it doesn't matter what, and it certainly doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter what you did 5 minutes ago.
Right.
You bring it to the Lord. You repent of it. You put it under the blood. And you move on.
That's exactly
you
right.
You do what he wants you to do.
And you quit living under the condemnation of the devil that reminds you all the time of your past and things and tries to make you feel. The devil loves to stop us in our tracks. I mean, Paul and Silas could have, after this jail experience, they could have said,
packed up and gone back to Jerusalem.
Yeah, they could have, Pastor Jim. They could, and you know what? So many people in the ministry have some devastation happen to them. And they're done. They're done. Betty said to me, I think it was Betty, she'll be on here in a few minutes and she can verify it, but Betty said to me, so many people that she knows in their area where they live in Indiana, people that have been in the ministry, you know, devastating things have happened and they've just quit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and believe me, you know, and Pastor Jim, we've had every opportunity to quit through the years.
I tried to quit.
Yeah, you did.
Pastor, I tried to quit.
Yeah, you were out of there for what, 8 years or so, not doing anything?
Actually, more than that. I stopped pastoring in 1993, 94, and didn't start for 14 years, or however many, you know, what is it, 16, 8, 20 some. I mean, it's like 20 years. And, or not quite 20, but almost.
More like 15.
More like 15.
And but still, like, I mean, because you were discouraged and disappointed
and if I'd listened
defeated.
To the Lord, yeah, I mean, there was a point in time when this is when I was living in Chicago, and Ray can tell you, I ran ads in some of the papers.
Right.
You know, when I started a Bible study, right. You know, specifically geared toward our community, and nothing ever came of it. Right. Now, if I'd been listening to the Lord, I probably would have been down here in 2005, 2006. We would have met many couple of years earlier at the very least.
Right.
But, you know, I was stubborn. I mean, but at least God was positioning me
right
to where I wasn't going to be totally anti getting back into the ministry.
Right.
Because
he was working on your heart
because he told me.
Softening your heart.
Yes. Yeah.
And you didn't give up. I mean, when God brought you back, you said yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And even in Chicago, I mean, I was obedient because I remember, and this was 2000, because I went to that Spirit Fest in Michigan City, and I told Ray, I said, just so you know, I'm probably going to come back with a call to be a minister again. Yeah, I called that one right.
Right.
But that was 2000. And I thought maybe I was reading God's signals wrong. I thought I was supposed to stay in Chicago. And I tried and tried and tried to start something in Chicago, and it just didn't work.
Right.
So finally, it's like, well, we might as well move to Florida. Nothing's happening here.
Right. You know? Right. So. And it was in 2000 that God called me back on Easter to the ministry. And because I had had a 9-year break just doing real estate and playing golf. And, you know, from the ministry and thinking that God could never use me again. And but I was wrong. But I was wrong because when he has a call on your life, and I don't know why we're going in this direction, but this does apply to Paul and Silas. They did not give up after this entire awful situation of Acts 16. Right. They went on. Yeah, they went right on.
It would have been so easy after that to have just said, you know what, Silas, let's just go back to Jerusalem. We did our best. Obviously, nobody in Europe wants to hear the gospel.
Exactly.
And yet they didn't. I mean, in chapter 17, they go from, and I love this word, Amphipolis. To Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica.
Great names for twins. Amphipolis and
Apollonia.
Apollonia. Mm-hmm.
You know, they come to Thessalonica, and Paul always went to the synagogue because it wasn't just Jewish people there. There were a lot of God-fearing Gentiles there. He basically preaches the gospel in the synagogue.
Right.
And with almost boring repetition, the same thing happens. You know, people stir up.
And about verse 4 of Acts 17, the religious leaders got all stirred up.
Yeah. Well, verse 5 says, but some others, the Jews, became jealous.
Became jealous. So that is one of the worst things in the ministry, Pastor Jim. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I've been the victim of it, and you have too. And it is a very disgusting, awful situation when that comes against us in the ministry. Jealousy is one of the main tools of the devil.
Yeah. And I was about to have a Golden Girls arcane reference, but I'll skip it.
Oh, go ahead. Cedric wants to hear it.
You know, I'm a fan of those classic TV shows.
I know.
Oh, come on. Golden Girls, what?
This is Sophia speaking. Jealousy is a very ugly thing. And so are you, Dorothy, in anything backwards.
That's funny. I didn't have a rim shot. Right.
But, they were jealous. And I think the reason why is, of course, Paul was getting all these people saved. They were.
Oh, they didn't like it. The devil never likes people to get saved and set free. That is absolutely what he doesn't want to happen.
Right. So what happens?
Jealousy.
And they start a riot. It says, but the others became jealous, so they got some evil men from the marketplace.
They just hired some bad guys.
They formed a mob and started a riot.
They must all had the black hats on, because Paul and Silas always wore white cowboy hats. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
And so the bad guys that they hired were just that was their profession, to be a mob.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? Let me go out and hire a mob.
Well, that's what they did.
And that's what the devil does all the time with people's gossip, with their tongues. The devil is all about setting up a mob situation all the time. Jealousy is one of the worst things the devil uses. We have seen it. You and I have seen it in our ministry at Beacon of Hope over and over again. People get jealous of so-and-so because they have a little more attention get in their minds. They think they get more attention. Or so-and-so got to sing a song and this other one didn't. or their talent is not as good as somebody else's, or pastor likes her better or him better.
And, you know, and I can speak to that. And
please speak to that, Pastor Jim, while I rant and rave here for a moment.
And I'll be real honest.
Why don't you be honest?
I'm jealous of Nathan because he can play the piano and sing so well.
He is a wonderful
Let me change that. I could be jealous of Nathan.
You could be. And I was going to say, I don't see that.
The first time, that first day when he and Sean came back, it's like, oh.
Wow.
But then I said.
Right.
You know, those are his gifts.
Those are his gifts.
Oddly enough, my gifts are putting songs on a CD.
Right.
That's one of my gifts.
Right.
Nathan is able to play and, you know.
We're all needed,
praise
though.
Praise God. That God gave him that gift.
Oh.
I mean, that's...
And he's been very ill. He's scheduled to be on the show next week. We're not sure if he will be. We want you to pray for Brother Nathan. He's been in the hospital twice in the last 3 weeks and for extended periods of time. He's had a very bad virus. There's been a lot of junk cucamonga going around, as you all know. Pray for Nathan. He's a wonderful worship leader and a blessing to us. So... But yes, you're right. I mean, it's easy for a seed of jealousy to get in our hearts.
And my other point is, we're all vulnerable to it.
Right.
I mean,
we are.
I could be jealous of your ability to preach because you preach. I tend to teach. You preach.
We compliment each other.
But again, and that's just it. But my thing is, I could be jealous of that. But no.
No.
Because we do compliment each other. And I know, like, on the praise team, Nathan plays and sings, and I can compliment that with my voice.
Yes.
Just like Laura can do that with her voice.
And, yes.
You know, it's just amazing. And that's, I think the praise team is a kind of a microcosm of how the church is supposed to be, where, you know, I can play the tambourine like nobody's business.
Boy, you can.
I cannot play the piano, but yet my gift is singing and playing the tambourine.
Man, you can.
So.
You can make that thing talk.
Yeah.
And I can't do it at all. I cannot play the tambourine at all. My rhythm is just ridiculously awful.
And Ray and I were up at Oldsmar at the flea market yesterday, and we walked past some shop, and they had a violin. And I said, boy, you know, I wish God had blessed me. I just wish I could be blessed enough to play something besides the tambourine.
But the tambourine adds so much excitement to music, don't you think, Cedric? Cedric,
yes.
You're a drummer.
Well, percussion.
You're a percussion guy.
It's very important.
It's huge.
It's fundamental.
It is. And, you know, so whatever
but
our
that's
gifts
not,
are.
That's not to say that somebody who doesn't know music today won't learn it tomorrow.
That's true.
That's exactly right. But the point is, so often people get all hung up in churches about jealousy, with this jealousy bug. And
really everything. Not just churches.
Not just
though.
Churches.
I mean, everywhere.
You're right, Cedric. It's workplace.
It's a disease. Jealousy is, yeah.
It's awful. And it eats away at people, and it makes them treat people funny. It makes them harbor resentments and bitterness. And nothing good comes from a seed of jealousy. Nothing good comes from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens here to Paul and Silas. They're the victims of jealousy. As they go to the next place to teach, Thessalonica, as they go there, that's where they're at, right?
Right, Thessalonica.
And they go there, and so what? The religious leaders get jealous, and they hire a mob. And we're going to talk about that more in this next hour, because there's a lot to talk about here about perseverance and faithfulness and self-pity and jealousy and all of this. We got a lot to talk about. Pastor Jim, I want to remind people about our prayer team. We need more people on the prayer team. We've got tons, and they're located in different parts of the world.
Right. We've got people scattered from Indiana to down
wherever,
here and everywhere.
Every
in between,
other way. And we welcome them to join our prayer team. Can you talk about that?
Sure. We do have the prayer ministry. You send in your prayer requests, and normally it's either myself or Carol up in Georgia. We'll pick that up. Usually, we'll always write a prayer. Because that way, everybody on the team then is praying in unity. We're praying the same thing.
Yes.
We're believing
specific
the same thing.
Specific prayer.
Exactly. We're believing and praying the same thing. And then that does get sent out to our prayer team. So if you have a prayer request, and don't think that any request is too small. We, in the past week, have prayed for kitty litter.
Sure we have.
So,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, big or small.
Right.
We will pray, and we... Not only that, but we will expect God to answer. And God did answer that prayer, didn't he?
He did.
for that particular person.
And this week we've been praying for three victims of domestic violence that we're aware of that are close to us and some of our families. And there's been changes in all three situations this week. So we thank God for that. And we're going to believe God for lasting change.
Amen.
You know.
And you know, prayers for Nathan and the others, that the other people that have been sick. But, you know, we expect God to move. We've
seen God
move.
Yes.
We've seen miracles happen.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing. And so whatever your need is, send it to us. We'll put it on the prayer line. We'll send it out. We'll get that need prayed for. I would only ask that when God answers.
Yes.
Let us know. Because
that's
it's always great. I love it when people send us back, oh, by the way, this happened and this happened. And
we keep track of those.
Yeah.
And Carol and I were talking about this a couple of days ago. We need praise reports. Come on, guys. Send your praise report in of what happened in your situation. Our new email address for the prayer line now, to make it simpler. The old one is still going to work. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. But that's hard for a lot of people. It's long to type all that out. prayers@bohmglobal.com is where we're going now. It's going to be easier for you to use that. Let's hear station ID and we'll come right back.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
And welcome all you listeners in other states and of course on the internet globally. And Beacon of Hope Ministries is a global ministry. We have a brand new website we launched actually at midnight on Friday night. And it is totally and completely fantastic and gorgeous. And our thanks to our webmaster, Maxine McClanahan of McWitt Creative Works up in Covington, Georgia, who has built this whole thing. It's a huge site. We have tons of space. We have between 100, 150 radio shows on our site because we've been on the radio now for almost 6 years. So we have over 300 shows we've done. Today is number 307. So we have done tons of shows in these almost 6 years, and a lot of them are on our website. So we welcome you to go to beaconofhopeministries.com. Get acquainted with the brand new site. I've got a new video right on the front. I come up talking as you go to our site. And explain what our mission and our goal is at Beacon of Hope, what we're all about. And there's tons of pages. My gosh, what, 15 pages on this website?
Oh, yeah.
At least.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge because we had a lot going on. We, in the actual church in Clearwater, we are small. But globally, we are not.
Right.
And God is increasing our numbers and bringing people. We want you to be a partner with us. Go to the donations page and give a donation on PayPal. It's very easy. There's a lot of radio listeners that do that and support this ministry. And when you go to PayPal, those dollars will be paid for the radio. Because every week, almost 6 years, we pay, which we did today, in advance before we come on the air. And God always supplies, and what amazing. I mean, in 6 years, Pastor Jim, there's not been a Sunday we haven't been able to pay, you know, the bill.
Right.
And praise God for that, because God takes care of our needs. Even though we're in a hotel right now in the Executive Inn in Clearwater, that's okay. That's just a stepping stone. Do you want to talk about that a minute before Betty comes on?
Yeah, we are back in the Executive Inn. So in one sense, it was kind of like,
going back.
I don't look at it as going backwards.
I don't look at it
as kind of going home. Mm-hmm. Going back, paying a visit to like a home again.
And it's so nice. They've just remodeled it. Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's very, very nice. And the staff is very, very friendly. I mean, they bent over backwards for us today. So praise God for that.
Because we had a dinner after church you know, all that.
And you know, it's different, but, you know, God moved us back there for a purpose.
Right.
You know, one thing, it's less expensive, you know, and as
saving money.
As acting treasurer, I think that's
that's
a real blessing to me. But, I mean, you know, there's other reasons, I know, and just.
We had a place to go, which is praise God, because our building where we had been almost 3 years was sold
right
out of foreclosure, and we had to get out. And so we had a place to go.
We
praise
had a place
God
to go. And this, and the amazing thing is, not the amazing, I mean, it's just obvious. You know, I think some people, I know the thought crossed my mind, oh, we're going to go back to the executive in the spirits, never going to move again.
It's not true
and
at all,
and yet it's
is
been
it?
So anointed since we got there.
Oh, it's been wonderful, isn't it? And a wonderful time today. Betty, are you on?
Yes, I am. Hi, Pastor. Hi, Pastor Jim.
Hi, Betty.
We love you, Betty. Betty and her daughter, Megan, who are part of our radio team now, were a part of my church I pastored in Newcastle, Indiana. That's a long time ago, Betty. We're back in the 80s and early 90s. Long time ago, huh?
Yes, ma'am. But you know what? You know, we're still the same inside and out.
Amen.
Thanks to the Lord.
And, you know, it's so cool how God brought so many of you Cornerstone people back. That was the name of the church in Indiana, Cornerstone Ministry. And how many of you are back a part of us now at Beacon of Hope. And just, it's so cool. It's what a blessing God does. I mean, and once your hearts are united with God's people, it's just amazing. The unity, the direction, the purpose, the vision that we all share. So talk to us about your vision, Betty.
Well, it started probably back in December. I'll make a long story short.
Okay.
Started back in December, one early morning. The Lord kind of wakes you up and says, "Hey, Betty." It's like, "Yeah." I need you to do something. I mean, this is the BLT version.
All right, BLT.
I need you to do
Betty
something
Lou
for me. I said yes. Yeah, yeah. That got down to about January, and then I knew it was him.
Yeah.
I need you to do something for me, and I said, "Well, okay, what?" And he said, "I need you to bring 10,000 of my people to pray."
Amen.
And I said, "Okay, all right. Good night, Lord." And huh. I did. Pastor, I drug my feet. I did everything
right
to avoid that voice of truth that
right
talks to me. And then it got to be, "Betty Lou, I need you, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I thought, that sounds so familiar. So I looked it up, and it was, "If my people who will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land."
Right.
And it's like, 10,000 people, you want me to do that? And he said, "Why not you?"
Right.
So, you know that the Lord uses little people like myself to do big things for him. And I will tell you that it has been sometimes a road of discouragement, because mm-hmm I let the enemy talk to me. Not that I want him to, but he just is a discouragement and a distraction when he knows something this big that can change the course of things in our country and around the world is prayer.
Right. It's prayer.
And
it's the key to everything.
And I told my daughter, and I think I told you, the only thing that I know that I can do and that I do from my heart is pray.
Right.
And so we have been diligently working on gathering those 10,000 people. Has
right
it been a discouragement? Yes, it has. So we have created, with the help of Webmaster Megan and Webmaster Maxine, they have come up with a tremendous website.
It is cool.
That explains 10,000 strong, Prayer Strong through our website, and also can communicate through that website to an email account, where if they want to keep things more private, that, you know, sometimes people don't like to let other people know that they pray, and that's okay. We will take, we're going to take, you know, children, we're going to take young people, we're going to take our very, very wise people, and anybody that wants to pray, we need you to come join us. Whether you say, I'm not an intercessor, you don't have to be.
Right.
You can talk to the Lord just like I'm talking to you right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And because he listens, he hears us, and he answers our prayer, that's in his promises.
Amen. And so when is this event, the first one? Because there's going to be more than one of these this year, isn't there?
Yes. He put this on me after we had a conversation that what it's like for him when he asks someone to pray, that he feels like your dad, if you know, God rest his soul, if my dad was here and I didn't talk to him, how he felt if I didn't talk to him.
Right.
And so he's like, now see how hard it is just to get one person to join you in the prayer?
Wow.
And I said, okay, how about then there's 10,000. If you want them brought in, you're going to bring him in. He goes, okay, we're going to do it in a set of three. Is the number three God's grace?
Actually, that's number five. Three is God's number of his fullness. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay, all right. He said there's going to be three sessions. The first one is March 13th, 2013. 3-13-13.
Coming up.
And it's coming up, and then there's going to be two more, which is going to be so dynamic that if you want to be a part of it, all you have to do is go. You can go to the Beacon of Hope web page. You can go and you can click on the 10,000 Strong. It'll take you right to our website.
Right.
You can read about it. You can join. We would love to have you. And that's, prayer is going to change the course, and we're going to be the generation that breaks the chains.
Amen. And we're believing God for redemption, renewal, and revival across this nation.
Amen. Amen.
So the first event is 3-13-13, and start praying around 6 p.m. Go as long as you want to. We're trying to get people to pray for an hour. Can we just pray for an hour? But
yes.
But if you can pray longer, pray longer.
That's right, and I think we, if you go to our website, we just got it up working
this morning.
At 1:30 this morning.
Okay.
Is that we will put a guideline that if you or your church want to follow this guideline, you are totally welcome to, but it's each individual's course if how they want to pray. The first one we do want to pray for is redemption. The second is we want to pray for renewal, which we need a renewing in our country to bring people that have been so lethargic and bring their passion back.
Amen.
And then we're going to pray for revival.
Amen.
Because I think everyone who knows the Lord wants revival in their life. They want revival in the church, and we do want revival in the land because it's going to bring all of God's people together again.
Amen. Yes. Wow. Are you excited about this? I am so excited about this. I really am.
Yeah, I have, you know, like I said, I had faced, I'm always say this from my heart, is I faced some discouragement over the last few weeks.
Right.
And it's not because that I don't believe. I do believe in the power of prayer. I believe that there is a, that prayer changes people and prayer changes things.
Right.
So I encourage you that if you do have any kind of prayer request, is, you know, get on that web, get on the web page and send that into the prayers at Beacon of Hope, BOH Global. Because I mean to tell you, we have had a lot of, I've even had, from my prayers, just through this, is I've had a healing of my animals, myself, and my family.
Amen.
So I can be a testimony to that.
Right there you are. Yes. Betty, it's amazing, totally amazing what God's doing. And we are calling people to get serious about prayer this year in 2013. And let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for the redemption, renewal, and revival. And we praise God that he put this on your heart and that you're being obedient, girl. You're being obedient. You're not just sitting by idly and saying, that's too big of a challenge for me.
Well, I can't say that wasn't my thoughts at first, because it's like, hey, I'm down here in this small little community of, you know, of Connersville, Indiana. And we have had so much happen within our community that if we can see just a small enough change that will give people enough hope to say, oh, what's happening here? What's changed? What's happened in this community? And this can happen all the way across the United States.
Absolutely.
Across the globe. And, I mean, we have people that are signed up down in Brazil.
Yeah. Praise God.
And people in California.
Praise.
You know, we've got the beautiful people from Georgia.
Yes.
The beautiful state of Florida. I tell you what, people, we need your help.
You need to spread the word, put it on your Facebook pages.
Yes,
all of it.
Yes, yes, exactly right, Pastor.
So it's
exactly
on our
right.
new homepage. So go to beaconofhopeministries.com and scroll down. You're going to see 10,000 Prayer Strong. Click on there, and it'll take you straight to the new website for this big event. And you can pray anywhere that night, starting at 6 o'clock. You can pray in your car. You can pray at an altar. You can pray at home. You can pray sitting in your favorite chair. It doesn't matter where you pray. What matters is that you pray.
Amen. Amen.
Betty, I dedicated this next song to you. And, you know, it's one of my favorite songs, and I think it'll bless your heart. Thank you for coming on today. Did you want to stay on, or are you out of here? What are you doing?
Oh, no. I can stay if you need me to. I would be glad to. I love this.
All right.
This is my bucket list, babe. This is
your bucket list. Okay, stay with us then, because here's the song dedicated to you and this show today, People Need the Lord. The group is Avalon.
See it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Silent grind,
God. People need the Lord. And that is what motivated Paul and Silas.
Amen.
To praise God in the midst of the dungeon, in pain, people need the Lord.
Amen.
And it caused them to come out of that situation with the jailer. How exciting that night must have been, Pastor Jim, to have the jailer and his whole family saved and they have revival. Like Betty's talking about revival. We need to have pockets of revival springing up all over this nation. And Paul and Silas had caught the vision and they persevered in the midst of a painfully physical, painful emotional time. Right. And they persevered. Talk to me about that. And Betty, are you still with us? Hang on and I'll come back to you in a minute. Go ahead, PJ.
And they went on. They
went on.
They left Philippi in triumph.
Yes.
And they got escorted to the city gates.
Right.
And then, you know. And then they went on and ended up in Thessalonica.
There you go.
And they could have just sat back and said, oh, you know, we're just here to listen.
Yeah.
We're just here to hear.
Right.
But they didn't. They got up and preached. And
right.
They
every
talked
Sunday.
About it. Yeah. I mean, every Sabbath day for 3 weeks, they made all these converts. You know, the devil stirred up some jealousy, stirred up another riot. And unfortunately, the believers had to, like, pay Paul's bail.
Right.
To get him out. And again, he could have said, oh, man, I have had enough of this.
Right.
I'm going to go back to Tarsus. I've just had enough of this. I'm going home. But he didn't. He went on to Berea.
And he just kept persevering in the midst of it. And I don't know where God is taking us. We did a couple events, November and December, where we got outside of our walls. We went into a nightclub in Dunedin and had a service. And then we went to the park and had a service in December. We didn't do anything in January. We actually moved our facility. So don't know where God's calling us. But right there on the homepage of our new website, it says going outside of our walls to meet people where they are, just as they are, with God's love. And Betty, you're going out of your walls right now and out of your comfort zone to say God is calling you to call 10,000 people together. That's pretty darn out there, girl.
Yeah, it is. I couldn't agree with you more. It takes
boldness.
It takes boldness. It takes courage. It takes perseverance. And we have faced, as I know that you have also, we faced some persecution.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Paul and Silas did. And you know what? We could have sat back and said, I could have said, I'm not going to, well, in Indiana, I'd say, I ain't going to do that.
You go, Betty, you go.
Yeah, PJ and I are both from Indiana.
I'm going out here, and I'm not going to do that because I'm afraid of what people might think. You
right.
know, you're just making that all up in your mind. But you know, when God speaks to your heart and he tells you to do something, he does so kind and so gentle and so loving that you want to. You want to step outside of that box. You've got to have a heart change and a mind change because I'm not used to doing this. I'm used to somebody else doing all the work, and I'll just, you know, I'm the cleanup person. And it's awesome. I mean, once you get in, once you step your foot and put your foot in that water,
right,
and you feel the warmth and the love that the Holy Spirit brings, it's like, it's renewal. I mean, this
it is renewal.
For people is renewal, is their dependence on the Heavenly Father. It's just amazing what he can do.
Well,
if we let him.
It so is. On our new website, we have on the prayer page, listeners, go to our prayer page, there's a hand now. And when you click on that hand, there is a cool video about prayer and how to pray. And it didn't originate with us, but it is amazing. And the whole point, Betty, is what you're saying. Get out of your comfort zone. Be willing to answer the call of God. And if he's telling you to get up in the middle of the night and pray, then you better be getting up in the middle of the night and praying. And if he's calling you to call 10,000 people together, then he's calling you. You better be doing it. And Paul and Silas did not give up after they were so
Amen.
Beat up and persecuted. And there have been so many discouraging times for me in the ministry, Pastor Jim, in Indiana and here in Florida. Where I could have so easily given up. But God continually reminded me of the call that he has on my life, and I could not give up. Do you want to comment on that before we go back to Betty?
Yeah, same thing. And Betty, I just want to say thank you and Maxine for putting a link to Facebook on the website.
Yes.
Because I now have a link to 10,000 on my Facebook page.
All right. He's been sitting here playing with his Facebook page.
I was distracted. It went into Facebook. But
now he's got
I have the link on there.
Fantastic.
So,
and that's what we need our listeners to do, to go to their Facebook pages and their friends and their sphere of influence and get this word out there. But go ahead and comment on that.
And Facebook, too. I have to sound like I'm so pro-social media, but in a way, that's kind of that's a great tool because, I mean, if you scroll back down through my page and all that, I mean, I've got links to some old Second Chapter of Acts songs and some Keith Green stuff. And,
right.
I mean, I make no bones about my faith.
Right.
That's right. You know, that too is getting it out there.
Right.
And I think, you know, I praise God that we can put these links to the 10,000 praying for renewal and everything.
We're called to pray for our nation.
Exactly.
Aren't we?
I mean, we're commanded to.
Yes,
and
our leaders.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter what political party you are, you still pray for the leaders in this nation.
Right. And if you don't agree, then pray.
Pray more.
Pray more. You know, pray.
Right.
You know,
Paul and Silas didn't give up, Jim.
No,
they did not give up in the midst of persecution.
And, you know, they moved from Thessalonica to Berea.
Yes.
Same thing happened
again. Same thing
again. I mean, at least the Bereans for a while, I mean, it's one of my favorite scriptures about how they studied the scriptures every day to find out if these things were true.
Right.
You know, you talk about a Berean ministry. These people were getting into the word to find out.
Right.
Just to double check. They didn't take anything Paul said at face value. They said, well, we're going to look.
They were studiers.
We're going to look.
Yeah, students of the word.
But
yeah.
Again, jealousy stirred up.
Right.
And, you know, Paul got kicked out.
Right.
You know, got kicked out of Berea. And ended up going to Athens.
I mean, okay then. All right. Talk to me about that, Betty. I mean, we do sometimes face some persecution, don't we, for what we believe and how vocal we are and how bold we are.
Yes. And, you know, that's what makes us. But I used to have I call it a spirit of timidity. You know, I was afraid to even say anything to anybody because I was afraid that I would offend them.
Right.
And when you did start talking, then you felt like that, you know, people were jealous. It's like, how do you know so much about the Word of God? And it's like, well, because I read it. And
there you
go.
That's a clue.
It amazes me how people, including myself, and I know that you had went through a dry patch too, is that even though you weren't ministering, you still had that love for God.
Oh, amen.
It never left you. No matter what we were going through, Lord, I still love you. It's just, you know, I'm kind of in a desert here. But you know what? He called us back.
Amen.
He called us back into his self. And just like with me, he's calling on me to get back with kids. And because the children's ministry was something that I have kind of been dodging behind big bushes because it's like, oh Lord, I can't do that right now. He said, oh yes, you can, but I've got to get the prayer thing going first, and then kids are coming next. So
praise God. You know,
it's amazing. It's amazing. It's just absolutely amazes me, his grace and his mercy.
You know, the bottom line is, are we sold out to God or not? And yesterday I was in the car a lot, working and running errands and just doing a lot. And Maxine, our webmaster, is so sweet to put my whole stack of CDs on one little tiny cruiser. You know, technology amazes me. And so now it's plugged into the console of my car and truck. And I'm driving around, and this song that I'm about to play came up next. And my son gave me this song 2 or 3 years ago during a hard time in his life that this song really ministered to him. And I think it fits right here for what we're talking about. No matter what Paul and Silas were going through, no matter what you, Betty Thomas, have gone through, no matter what I've gone through, or Pastor Jim, we make a decision. My life is in your hands, God. What you choose to do with me, through me, it's all about you. If you want to comment on this, write us right now, pastor at BOHMGlobal.com, and it'll come up right here in front of PJ. Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com. Listen to this song. I love it. This is Kathy Tricoli's version of My Life is in Your Hands.
Life can be so good, and life can be so hard, never knowing what each day will bring to where you are. Sometimes I forget, and sometimes I can see that whatever comes my way, you'll be with me. My life is in your hands, my heart is in your keeping. I'm never without hope, not when my future is with you. My life is in your hands, and though I may not see clearly, I will lift my voice and sing, 'cause your love does amazing things. Lord, I know my life is in your hands. Sure, and nothing is for keeps, but all I know is that your love will live eternally. So I will find my rest, and I will find my peace, knowing that you'll meet my end. When my future is with you, my life is in your hands, and though I may not see clearly, I will lift my voice and sing, 'cause your love does amazing things. Lord, I know my life is in your hands.
Love does amazing things in my life.
That's a great song.
Isn't it?
Wow.
Oh, my. So the calling of God is reality in our lives. He's got a job for each of us to do. It's mm-hmm. not just a pastor, missionary, teacher, evangelist. It is about fulfilling your destiny.
Right.
And whatever your destiny is, maybe it's to call 10,000 people together to pray, Betty. Maybe it is to minister on the radio like you're doing now. Jim, it's not just the daily job that you do as a social worker, and you're so good at what you do on a daily basis. But it is this higher calling of prayer, intercession, mm-hmm. standing in the gap for people, ministering the word of God. What can we do, people, to realize what needs to change in our nation, to realize that God's desire for our lives is the most important desire? And we got to get in line with that instead of just wasting time. And I'm not saying we can't do just menial things like mow the lawn. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, what is your purpose? Yes, I do laundry. I you know, work in the garden, whatever the case may be. Those are just part of life, but we're talking about the higher purpose. Mm-hmm. What is God calling us? Pastor Jim, and then Betty, talk to me about this.
Well, I think individually it has to start with each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be willing to be used wherever and in whatever way God wants to use us.
But that's where it breaks down. A lot of times it's a willingness right there.
Right.
We're stubborn. We're rebellious sometimes.
Yeah. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. And I think we just have to be, maybe pray to be made willing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, I think of some people who, for whatever reason, don't receive the gospel, don't receive their healing, don't receive the fullness of the Spirit, because they're not willing. Maybe we just need to pray for them to be made willing.
And maybe that is one thing, Betty, we need to be concentrating on, that people become willing to make the right choices and become all that God is calling them to become.
And I think it takes a willingness, and it takes a willingness to want to change.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us want to come out of our dead zone and become alive again. And one of the things that the Lord has shown me over the last few weeks is that I never really ever paid attention to the things that are happening in the world. And when I see, you know, country coming against country and wanting to come against the United States, and to see the amount of destruction that's happening in our cities, in our counties, in our state, with that's happening to kids getting involved in gangs, and my eyes have been totally open to what the Lord wants me to see, so that he can direct us in how to pray.
Exactly.
And one of the things to pray is for people, first of all, for lost souls, for them, because, you know, we're coming into the last days of before the Lord returns, and we have to want to change. We have got to shake off those chains.
Yes.
Come out of the dungeon.
Right.
And come back alive. Let the Lord minister to you, whether you're a street cleaner, whether you're a hostess at a hostess station in a restaurant. God has something for
you. Amen. Amen, girl. And we have got to open our eyes to the opportunities right before us. I mean, Paul was so willing to go on and minister for God, even though he was black and blue and beat up, and he went to the next location and then the next location. Did he have persecution everywhere he went? Yeah. Are we going to have problems and trials? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And the more we get, the bolder we get, the more outspoken we are we going to have things happen to us? James says in James 1:2, consider it all joy when you encounter tests or trials of any sort, knowing that the proving of your faith brings about endurance and patience and perseverance and all this. It's part of the training. Pastor Jim, talk about that.
Well, yeah, it's, if you're going to open your mouth and yak about the gospel, you're going to be on the front lines of the battle.
Absolutely.
There's no way to avoid that. And, you know, we can just keep quiet and go hide, and Satan's won.
Right.
You know, if we let, mm-hmm. the devil wins. If we don't say anything, the devil wins. But if we do get out there and fight by proclaiming prayer, all praise and worship.
We're going to have opposition.
We're going to have,
totally.
Paul said, those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus
will be persecuted.
You know,
and that's a great promise.
There you go.
Wouldn't
that be great if we included that in the Roman road? Oh, by the way, once you do this.
Yeah, once you get saved, yeah, you're going to be persecuted.
Yeah, once you get saved, you're going to be persecuted. So buckle up for that.
Yeah, buckle up.
But it's, you know, it's true.
It's true.
It's unavoidable. Mm-hmm. And we have a choice.
Right.
You know, we talked a lot about choices today. We have a choice. We can buckle under. We can just give up and lay low and hope that, ooh, if I hide, maybe Satan will leave me alone. Mm-mm. And he's like, okay, yeah, he'll leave you alone because he's already won. He doesn't need to bother with you anymore. Or you can,
yeah, if you're out of commission and you're not doing anything or talking or praying or living the godly life.
Or we can rise up in battle.
Woo!
And I think the thing we have to remember is it's not just me rising up in battle. It's me and a host of other believers.
At least 10,000.
At least.
Right.
But, you know, I see us, you know, rising up an army like that, like Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones.
Right.
You know, he prophesied to those bones, and they shook off the dust.
Right.
They joined together. They got flesh on them.
Right.
They got muscle, then they got flesh. And then the Holy Spirit, Ezekiel prophesied to the winds, and they stood up. King James, this is for Nan, says, an exceedingly great army.
Amen.
You know?
Calling that thing to be not as if it were, and that is what we got to do. We've got to be so bold in our confession and our proclamation as proclamators of the Word of God. We've got to be so bold that when the devil comes at us, we just get bolder. We just get louder. Mm-hmm. We just get more persistent. We just gather more people to agree with us. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, I think there is a, we found a powerful song about a prayer warrior.
Cool.
And if you don't think that you have got what it takes, listen to this song on our website. It's called Prayer Warrior. You can be a mom. You can be a teacher. You can be a street cleaner. Like I said, you can be the hostess that stands behind a desk in a restaurant. That if you want to proclaim the good news of Christ, you are going to face persecution.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what brings us closer, because that's what God wants us to do, is to draw closer to Him during those times.
Trust.
So that when we pray, we pray for strength, and that brings us closer to God. And then when we pray for strength, it shows the world, what's so different about you? You always, here you are, your home's being foreclosed on. Your bank account is almost zero, and this is what I hear in our community. I don't have a job. But you know what? When we pray, God's promises are still true today as they were during Paul and Silas's time. We have got to come out of the holes that we dug for ourselves and lift your hands up to Christ and praise Him and pray. And I promise you, He will bring you out of the mire. He will bring you out of that dungeon, and he will set you on dry land. He will not set you on sinking sand. He will set you on firm, solid ground.
Amen. And as you were proclaiming that just then, I was reminded of Isaiah 51:14, one of my favorite verses. The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon. Paul and Silas didn't die in the dungeon, mm-hmm. Nor will their bread be lacking. I'm going to say that again. It's for somebody in our radio audience right now. Isaiah 51:14. The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. I love that. I think that's New American Standard. I memorized it. And did you just turn to it, PJ? What translation are you in today?
Oh, I brought the expanded Bible today.
He has 145 Bibles, and we don't even know what translation this is. Go ahead.
It's almost like the Message, but it's got all these literal things in it.
Okay.
People in prison, those who are burdened, stooped over, will soon be set free. They will not die in prison.
Woo.
They will have enough food. They will not lack bread. For I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea and makes the waves roar. My name is the Lord Almighty.
Praise God. And you know, some of you out there are some of God's chosen ones that have a call from God on your life. And you have allowed people and circumstances and fear of what other people think of you, and perhaps just your family you live in. Maybe you live in an abusive situation, because that seems to be in the water these days, and it's around everywhere. Whatever your circumstances are that have kept you from fulfilling God's best for your life this moment, this hour. Drive a stake in the ground now and declare that nothing is going to separate you from God's love, and nothing is going to separate you from the mission and the goal that God has given you on this earth to fulfill. And yesterday, we had my sister's birthday, Betty, at my other sister's house. And they started this birthday. It was just my sister and her husband, the other sister and her husband, and our adopted sister and her guy. And they started this with watching the videos of both my dad and my mom's funeral. Not the funeral, not the whole thing. Just the little 10-minute video of their life that my sister created. Oh. Because these other two hadn't seen it. And I sobbed through both of them. Between in the videos last night of both my mom's life and my dad, I sobbed because I saw God's hand in their lives from an early age, and how they obediently answered the call of God and became missionaries and pastors and evangelists and teachers, and did it regardless of what other people thought. And that's my heritage. And whether there's three at church or 1,400 at church, doesn't matter. It is whether or not I'm fulfilling my calling. Mm-hmm. And my parents went to heaven knowing they accomplished what they were supposed to do here on this earth. And Betty, Jim, we have got to band together and become the generation that fulfills the calling of God on our lives and does not slack and does not give up when the heat is on in the kitchen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What else can we say to that?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do.
I don't think we can top that, do you, Pastor Jim?
No, I don't think so.
You know what we're going to do?
All I can say is just a big amen.
Amen.
Instead of playing the song we were going to, we're going back to track 4, Cedric. People need the Lord. We got to do it again.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go. Fear to fear.
praise God. The end of broken dreams. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these listeners right now. We thank you, Lord, for these out there that are going through such difficult times. Maybe there are some that have been in the ministry and they've left. They're discouraged. They're defeated. You know who they are out there, Lord. Some that are wrestling with the call of God on their life to accomplish what you would have them to do. And Lord, they're just beat up. I just sense it in my spirit. I feel for these that are bruised and beat up by the toll that the ministry takes on them. Lord, some that are just wrestling with even running away from God entirely. Lord, we lift these people up in the name of Jesus. You know who they are. We ask that you reach down by the mighty power of your Holy Spirit and bring comfort and peace and direction to each one of these. Lord, let them feel your presence in their life. Let them feel your voice speaking to them. Let them hear you, Lord. Let them feel your wisdom just welling up within them and their peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we stand in the gap for these that are weary in ministry, weary in doing right, weary in just the labor of caring for others. Lord, we just ask that you touch each of these lives right now, those that are listening live, those that will listen to this radio show at a later time on our website. Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that there be a divine shift in their life happening right now, that they would make a choice to choose you and your perfect will for their lives above their comfort, above ease of life, above laziness, above complacency, that they would choose you, mighty God, and your path for their life. We ask it, we declare it, we proclaim it right now, that your word will go forth into their lives in such power and anointing that they can't do anything but follow your path for their life. We claim it. We stand on it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Talk to me, Betty.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share the word and the gospel with you and Pastor Jim today. And I pray that if the listeners have a need, that they will reach out and ask for help. And there is nothing greater and see a praise report from a prayer that has probably come in through the prayer line. It just, it lifts people up. It lets them know that God is still in control.
Amen. Amen. So we want to hear from your praise reports and your prayer requests. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Betty, it's decision time, isn't it, in our lives? We can't play games any longer. Time's short. We don't know how much longer we have on this planet, do we?
No, we don't. The Monopoly game is almost coming to an end, and we've got to get our pieces together. We've got to get we've got to get ourselves together. And there's nothing greater than getting ourselves together, praying in spirit and in truth and in one accord before the Lord comes back so that we can reach people for the Lord.
People need the Lord. They need the Lord. Wow. Yes, and we are behind your effort with heading up the new prayer venture, 10,000 Prayer Strong. And go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Scroll down on the homepage, and you'll see a big place there, and then the links. And you can, it is linked directly to your brand new website that you just got up last night at midnight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been
there. Yes, it is.
PJ just went there, and he says
it is.
The link works great. I tell you, Maxine's amazing. All this, and Megan, at doing your new website, that is just, it's just cool, isn't it, Betty?
Yeah, it really is, and I said, you know, when the Lord gives you an opportunity to do something new,
right,
that he equips his saints for the job that they have to do, and he equipped her. She didn't know from Adam how to set up a website, and, you know, with just a little bit of encouragement from Maxine, myself, and you, she was able to get it up and running, and
praise
it's just
God.
Amazing. And we're going to have songs on there that are uplifting. We're going to have daily inspirational scriptures that will help people with their prayer time. And listen to the songs on there because they are absolutely, they can be mind-changing
and life-altering. This is great.
Awesome.
And, you know, we at Beacon of Hope, you're part of us at Beacon of Hope, we totally support this endeavor. And we just praise God, and we're so glad you're a part of our radio team here. Pastor Jim's got a comment.
Well, yeah, just one thing, because I'm quirky, and I...
You're quirky.
I'm quirky, and I read the Torah portions that would be read in the synagogue every Saturday.
Right.
And they're just now talking about the construction of the tabernacle.
Okay.
That's where you're in, you know, we're in Exodus. And, you know, again, it says in Exodus, God gave them wisdom to know what to do. And he still does that. I mean,
good,
you know,
point.
He did that with Megan.
Good, you know, point.
Yes, he did.
He gave her that special wisdom, that anointing of understanding to know how
Amen.
To do this.
Amen. We saw that with the website creation.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Exactly. I mean, and he's doing that today in the same way that he did it with,
praise God,
you know, Bezalel and Aholiab in constructing the tabernacle.
Wow. Okay. Great point.
You know, he does that with us. He'll give us wisdom and understanding to do things we never thought we could do.
And so there are people out there that God will give you the wisdom for the ministry that he's called you to. People need the Lord. Betty, it's been great having you on, and we will continue to talk about 10,000 Prayer Strong and March 13 coming up, and then there'll
coming
be two
fast.
Other dates. So we will really dedicate that night at Bible study. We're dedicating the whole evening that night to 10,000 Prayer Strong and just praying that whole evening again. And we're just, prayer is the key, guys. It is the key. Pastor Jim, final thought real quick.
Just, I would encourage anybody out there who's been around, or even maybe you're new to being a Christian, you may have hit persecution. People may have ridiculed you or whatever, or physically tried to come after you for your faith. Be a Paul and a Silas. I mean, look at what happened when they trusted God. And for any of us, if we trust God, he will do that divine shift, and
yes,
there will be miracles happen.
Amen. Powerful word. Oh, good show.
Amen.
Praise God. BT, talk to me.
I think I agree totally with Pastor Jim that we've got to come alive.
Amen.
We have got to dig down, no matter what our circumstances of what we feel or see, Lord is still working in you, Pastor, in Pastor Jim, myself, Megan. He is still working. He's still, and he's also still in the miracle working business. If you want to see things change in your life, we have to also change.
Amen.
We have got to let go of the past. We've got to let go of the jealousy. We've got to let go of resentment, and we have got to focus. Keep our eyes focused, because he's got us in a race, Pastor.
Amen.
And he wants us to win.
Amen. And we are going to win. We
Amen.
Are more than conquerors. Amen. Through him
Amen.
Who loved us.
Amen.
You two are wonderful. Love you both. To our listeners, please go to our brand new, absolutely brand new, 24 hours it's been up, website, beaconofhopeministries.com. There's like 15 pages there. Go through them. You'll find out what we stand for, what we believe in. Feel free to give a donation on PayPal to support this ministry. That would be fantastic. And tune in next week live at the same time, 3:00 Eastern Standard Time. All of the last 3 years of our shows are on our website. A wealth of biblical training and teaching there. Go pick a topic, listen to it, learn the word. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, join us Sunday morning at 10:30 for our service, or Wednesday night Bible study at 7. And we just, we're just so blessed to have this ability to be on the air with you week after week. God bless you. Have a great time. You can write me personally, Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com, or Pastor Jim at BOHMGlobal.com. And prayer requests, prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. Our new email address, easier and quick to remember.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great Amen. Week. We will see you next week. Thank you, Betty. Thank you, PJ. God bless each of you. If we can help you, get a hold of us. All right? God bless you. See you next week. And remember, it's not far to Jesus.
It's not far. It's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here. It's not far.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233 BF Little Rock.